song. Go to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1 in the Word of God. Beautiful offertory there. Psalms chapter 1 is a beloved psalm, and we're going to look at one verse in it, we're going to go to two verses, first and second verse here in just a second. Then we're going to launch into a whole bunch of scriptures. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. You're going to say, man, I'm glad I got out of bed and came to church tonight. Amen. Went my nap and didn't eat dinner yet so I could get on up here. Amen. Psalms chapter 1. I love the Psalms. I preach a lot out of the Psalms, and I love to study the Psalms. And every Bible that I have is just marked up in the Psalms. I mean, a lot of them, there's just not anywhere else to write anything. And, you know, sometimes you go through things, and sometimes you just go through discouragements, and you get down, and you get frustrated. I've always encouraged people, when you're down, depressed, discouraged, frustrated, read some Psalms. So, you know, even us preachers get down and discouraged and frustrated once in a while. And so, you know, that old thing about physician, heal thyself, I went to the Psalms. And the Lord gave me this, just dealing with things that I'm dealing with and just things that go along with just, you know, being a human, I guess. But I went to the Psalms today just looking for some things from the Lord. And being that it's a new year, I went back to Psalms 1 and went up there. And I always try to read in concordance to other scriptures that I'm reading. I'm always reading through a book of the Bible, a chapter in the Bible, or not chapter, but a different book. But I'm always in concordance to that. We'll read the Psalms and Proverbs along with it. And so went back to the very beginning and caught some things I never really thought about before or even caught. And Psalms 1, verse 1, I noticed some things. Let's look at it here together. Verse 1, it says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We see there the ungodly, we see the sinners, and we see the scornful. There are certain villains that you see in the book of Psalms and in the book of Proverbs. You see the simple, you see the sinner, you see the scorner, the ungodly. We see three of these villainous people mentioned in Psalms 1, verse 1, by the hand of King David. Now we look at verse number 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now I noticed some things that never really had stood out to me before, but it caught my attention today. I looked in some of my other older Bibles to see if I'd ever noticed it before, and didn't find this in any of those in my cross notes that I often write in the margin. So this was something that occurred to me new in a verse that I have read. To say I've read this verse 100 times would not be an exaggeration. How many of you would be able to say the same thing? You've probably read this. I don't know. First thing I noticed, number one, is the very first word of the great songbook of the Bible is the word blessed. The word blessed, very first word. I thought that to be interesting. But I also noticed in all but one, I have about 15 Bibles in my office. I looked through about five or six of them to see if there was continuity here. All but one has the word blessed in all caps. Do any of you have it in all caps? And that caught me as odd. And I wondered why. And I did a bunch of research. I Googled it from every way you could Google it. I looked in every commentary I could find, and nobody in any of them makes any reference to the word blessed being in all caps. How many of you have never noticed it before? Have you ever noticed that before? Who's never noticed it before, and you'll be honest about it? I never noticed it, and I went to Bible school. Amen. Never noticed it. But I did some research as to why there are words in the Bible that are in all caps, although it never referenced the word blessed specifically. I found out that in the Word of God, there's three reasons why you would see something in all caps. And I'm going to give you those three reasons quickly, just by way of a note that I thought was interesting. Why are some words in all caps in the Bible? Well, number one, to denote deity. For instance, God or Lord will often be in all caps. So that denotes and values deity, number one. Number two, when you see all caps, it is when in the New Testament, when they're quoting from the Old Testament, you'll see it in all caps. And you know, I got to be honest, I'd never noticed that before. That was something new to me. I thought back and I said, yeah, that is true. Now that I think about it, when the New Testament is quoting a scripture from the Old Testament, they put it in all caps to denote that. And I'd never thought of that. And then I came up with number three, to denote emphasis or emotion. To denote emphasis or emotion. Now, it never specifically listed the word blessed as one of the words in the Bible in all the cross-referencing I did, but it's very definitely a thing. It's in all caps. There's got to be a reason for that, and I want to challenge any of you, if in your studies you come across the definitive reason for it, please share it with me because I'm very curious about it, and I'm going to continue to research that. If anybody knows, feel free to shout it out and enlighten us. Anybody know why the word blessed is in all caps there, right over here?
I don't know the emphasis on all the first words of each chapter and throughout this whole Bible, this one, they're all in caps.
Okay. The first word in each verse, okay, very nice, okay. Of each chapter, yeah, you're right about that. That is true. That is true. So there's a reason for that, I'm sure. Be curious to find out what they were thinking and what they're denoting there, what they're trying to do. But it's in all caps there. And I noticed in other references, and you may notice it as well, as we're going to look at several verses that have the word blessed in it, where it's in all caps, and it's just stood out to me. So we see three reasons why you would see letters with all caps. You ever texted somebody and you're angry texting? You ever angry texted? What do you tend to do to emphasize a word of importance? Usually a bad word, though, probably. Probably not a word a Christian should be using, but you'll put it in all caps. Anybody ever texted in all caps to denote importance or to denote emphasis? But anyway, we see those three reasons why in the Word of God we see words often in all caps. And I want to point this out. Another note is that in Psalms 1:1, now we're going to look at several things here in a minute, and I'm going to really turn and burn, and when I get going, we're going to go really fast. So you probably won't be able to write notes. Just let me speak to your heart and your mind versus, you know, your hand there. But a note about Psalms 1:1 that I came up with today that I found out in researching it, it is the only time the word blessed is used in the context of negativity, in the act of not doing something versus all the other times you're blessed for doing something. In this case, it says you're blessed for not doing something. In all the ones we're going to look at, you're going to get blessed of God because you did something. Did something right. In this case, you refrained from doing something wrong. You went away. So we see that is something that I felt was very interesting as well. So I want to get into this. In the great book of Psalms, which was the song book of the Hebrews, it starts out with the word blessed, which I believe is a great way to start out a book that will be given for the purpose of bringing joy and comfort and happiness to all that read it and abide by it. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're in a bad mood, if you're having a bad day, if you're just feeling down and discouraged and the blues are just setting in your heart, you get into the book of Psalms. It'll do something for you, and it's a book given to bring blessing and joy. So it's fitting to me that the very first word of the very first verse of this great song book of heaven is the word blessed. Now, the word used here is the Hebrew word Esher. E-S-H-E-R, Esher, which is a word used to define a special, supernatural kind of happiness and prosperity that comes only from finding favor with the Lord. So we see here that this word blessed is a supernatural joy, a joy that comes when somebody finds favor with the Lord. How many of you understand that? Say amen. Man, I want that supernatural joy. Who's with me on that? I want it. I want all I can get of it. Now, we see here this prosperity. It comes from the Lord. Now, there are other words that could serve in place of the word blessed in a sentence. And I looked up this. I looked it up in biblical dictionaries as well as contemporary dictionaries. And the words that you could use in place of the word blessed or blessed are these words: happy, enlarged, rewarded, gifted, prospered, sanctified, set apart as holy. When something's blessed, for instance, when we do the Lord's Supper, and we say the blessing, and we ask God to bless the cup and to bless the bread, we say that that has been blessed. What do we mean by that? We mean it's been set apart and made holy. When I was a little boy, I remember after the Lord's Supper, I'd watch my dad's secretary as she would take the remaining crackers and the juice, and she would take it in the back, and she would pour it down the drain, and she would throw those crackers away. And I asked her one time, I said, why can't we just drink the juice and eat it? And she explained to me that that would be improper. This has been blessed, and we don't drink it just to drink it. So she disposed of it. Well, it was something considered holy and something considered blessed. And there are things in our life that the word blessed would mean, set apart or holy. It's been blessed. It's been held in high regard would be another way you could put that in a sentence. Something that's blessed is something that's held in high regard. All of these great things could be used in place of the word blessed. And these are all great things that you and I should desire. Man, I desire to be happy. Who's with me on that? I desire happiness. If you talk to most people, what do they want most in the world? To be happy. Why are they working so hard to get things? Because they're trying to find happiness in things. And why are they doing all these things that they're doing? They're trying to find happiness in doing and having and going and all the things in life. We're constantly searching for happiness. Happiness is a great thing. And who wouldn't want to be enlarged unless you're talking about your waistline? Amen. I've gone through a lot of misery trying not to be enlarged. I come to this point every year, you know, that I hate myself enough that I will punish myself by going to the gym and eating right. But in that case, being blessed with an enlarged waistline is not what we're talking about. But being enlarged in your prosperity, enlarged in your ability to do things, to be enlarged in your respect and in your testimony is another way. Who wouldn't want that? Hey, who wouldn't want to be rewarded or gifted, especially when we're talking in reference to God, to be prospered by the hand of God? That's true prosperity. So we see these great words, and they're all things that we should all desire. So it is saying here in Psalms 1:1 that a person will find great joy when they avoid evil and the doers of evil. You see, there's always a group that's going away from God. And there's always a temptation to get into that group. Why? Well, it's pretty simple. They seem like they're always having a good time. Amen? It always seems like they're having a blast. We have to work hard not to join in to doers of evil. I mean, I don't know about you, but every time they ever show a beer commercial, they show people having a good time. They show people having a blast and partying and living it up, having fun. Well, it's hard sometimes to not think that is the crowd I want to be in because it seems like they're always happy. It seems like they're always having fun. Well, you know, there's a crowd out there that is always going away from God. And we are told not to take part into that. And he says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. He's not standing in their way. And I don't mean blocking them, but standing with them is what it's talking about there. And it says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, that person that's critical and angry and upset all the time. So we see here that in Psalms 1:1, he says that person will find great joy when they avoid evil and the doers of evil and walk in the direction of the Lord and in his righteous way. Then in verse 2, we see that this person delights in God's law. And in that delight, that person is seeking to understand it. He is seeking to commit himself to it, and by understanding it, better fulfill it. Look at it there in verse 2. But his delight, talking about the blessed man, is in the law of the Lord. What's another word for the law of the Lord? Shout it out. The Word of God, the Bible, the great book, the good book. Amen? Hey, he says that blessed man is going to be delighting in the law of the Lord. And notice what he does. He meditates in it day and night. He is thinking about it. He is seeking to understand it. He wants to get it because he wants to better observe it. That man's going to be blessed, the Bible says. So we see a person that does not follow the path of evil, but rather the path of righteousness. He will have supernatural joy that is gifted to him by the Lord as he finds favor from the Lord for his dedication. How many of you see that in Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2? You see that clearly instructed. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that man. Well, in this verse, we see a key on how to be blessed of God. Now, as I read this, I thought to myself, man, I want that. I want to be that blessed man. I want to be that man. Who wants to be that person? Say amen. I want to be that person. Then I got to thinking about it. I want to be blessed of God, and I want to have a supernatural joy that comes from the pleasing of the Lord. So I began to search for other keys found in the Bible today that can help us find Esher, or how to be blessed by the Lord. And this is what I discovered. And I'm going to go quickly here, but I found out, before I say this, don't groan and don't moan. Don't act like you're going to be here all night. By the way, if you were, that's okay. Where else would you rather be in the house of God? Don't answer that. I'm going to go quick, but I found 16 ways mentioned in the Bible to be blessed of the Lord. 16 times in different references we see, blessed is the man that does this. Now, in this one case, we see blessed is the man who doesn't do this. So if you want to be blessed, you got to stay out of the path of evil people. You can't be going away from God with the crowd that's always going away from God. God's not going to bless a person going away from Him. There's a crowd going towards God. There's a crowd going away from God. Watch the crowd you're in, because a key to being blessed is being in that right crowd. Blessed is that man that doesn't get tangled up and all that. And he loves the Word of God and sincerely meditates on it so he can better understand it. But there's other things here. Now I'm going to read them quickly. We're going to look at Psalms 1, verse 1. All right, for the first one. Here's the first one. Ready? It's actually the second. We already gave you the first. But it's actually 17, but I'm giving you 16 more. We see, number one, we are blessed of God when we live righteously. Say that with me. When we live righteously. There you go, Miss Crow. When we live righteously. Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, look at Psalms 106, verse 3, or listen to it. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. And one more for this point, Psalms 56, 1, verse, in verse 2. Verse 1 says, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Verse 2 says, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. That's actually Isaiah 56, isn't it? It is Isaiah 56. That's what I wanted. Okay, so we went from Psalms 1:1 and 106, verse 3, to Isaiah 56, verse 1 and 2, if you're taking notes, if you're trying to take notes. Isaiah 56, 1 and 2. Notice that. Notice that. Blessed is that man that doeth this, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. So you want to be blessed of the Lord. Point number one, the Bible says when you live righteously, you can end up in favor with God, and you can end up with supernatural joy and promotion and enlargement in your life. What a good thing. Number two, second thing I found, we can be blessed when we put our trust in God through faith. Boy, faith impresses God. Faith makes God happy with us. God loves it when we trust Him. Now notice this, Psalms chapter 2, verse 12 says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Now notice this, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Let's look at another verse here. Let's look at Psalms 40, verse 12. It says, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart filled me. Is that the right verse? It's not the one I wanted, but it's my fault. It's the one I gave her to put down. Anyway, I promise you, somewhere in there, there is a verse that says, if we put our trust in God, that He will bless us. And I wish I had not printed that verse wrong. But hey, when we put our trust in God through faith, we see great blessings of God rewarding that faith. Faith impresses God. God loves to see us believe in Him and trust in Him. Number three, I found this out. Number three, when we repent and find forgiveness of sins. When you can find the strength to repent and not rebel, when you can find the strength to repent and not become resentful, but when you can truly repent, you find forgiveness of sin, great blessing comes. Psalms 32:1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Man, I tell you, when we get repentance, we find forgiveness of sins, there's a great blessing in that, a great joy that comes into our life. And going along with that is point number four, when we receive and realize the grace of God in our lives. When we receive and realize the grace of God in our life, great blessing comes with that. I'm going to give you a quote before I read you this verse. Dr. Carl Menninger, known for the Menninger Institute Clinic, where he deals with people that are often dealing with despair and depression, he made this statement, quote, "I could free up most of the beds in my clinic if I could just get my patients to realize one thing, that their sins have been forgiven," end of quote. Dr. Carl Menninger. Psalms 32:2 says, "Blessed is that man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." That word imputeth is such an important word. Impute means to account for or hold guilty or to reckon with over it. There's a reckoning often whenever you do wrong. But when we can come to this place that we understand that God does not impute our forgiven sins, we can be happy even though we have at times erred in our ways. How many of you got a past you're not quite proud of? You don't have to tell us what it is, but you can raise your hand. Things you've done, all of us. If we could go back in a time machine, change it, we would. But here's the good news. When you come to the place that you realize that you are a benefactor of God's grace and that God does not impute that sin on you, He doesn't hold you guilty. He has forgiven you and He has washed it away. And whenever you can come to that point and you can understand the grace of God, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." We have been blessed with God's grace and His forgiveness. And that blessing that God puts upon us comes with a great joy. A great joy. So we see here the blessing to that man who realizes and receives the grace of God. Some of you, maybe you've gone to the Lord and you have repented of things you've done in your past. Things you did, many things before you even got saved and even came to know the Lord. Things you did before you might not have even known it was wrong when you did it. But you know, you got to give that to the Lord. You got to give that to the Lord. And you'll be blessed when you give it to the Lord. God will bless you when you give it to Him and you realize what God's grace truly is. That God's grace does not impute these things toward us. And when we come to this, we'll have a great blessing in our life. Great joy can fill our hearts if we realize the grace of God in our lives. What a great thing. Number five, great blessing can come to you when we are generous towards others in need. Psalms 41:1 says, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." We see that there's a great blessing on people who bless others. Ecclesiastes says that clouds don't gather rain unto themselves. I've taught on this before, but it's a great lesson and bears being repeated sometimes. When God blesses you, you know what's happening there? God's swelling your cloud up so that you can bless the grass and the flowers and the crops underneath you. Clouds don't gather rain so they can boast up in the sky about how big they are. That big old cloud is gearing up to release that rain on what's beneath it. God's blessing you. God says, "Hey, I'm going to bless those. I'm going to show some heavenly favor toward that person that considers the poor, that needy person, that person that's going through a hard time. And I will bless you if you will consider them, if you'll consider them." Now, we see here number six. When we are chosen by God to be in His service, there's a great blessing there. When we are chosen by God to be in His service, Psalm 65:4. Says this, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." Man, look at that. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. I remember one time I was in Bible college, and I know what the professor was trying to say, but he was trying to wax eloquent and look very intelligent. But he kept getting up and saying, "You know, I'm not like some of you boys. I wasn't drafted. I volunteered. God didn't have to call me to preach. I went forward and said, 'God, I want to serve you. And I know what he meant. I know what he was trying to say. But me being the sarcastic, smart aleck punk that I was at that age, I'm much more tempered now. I looked over at my friend in a voice just below what I thought he could hear. And I said, I wouldn't draft it. I was chosen. Amen. But the reality is, all of us are lucky to serve God. None of us are behind a pulpit because we deserve to be there. But what a great blessing that God chooses people and they get to dwell in the courts and they get to serve in the courts of God and to be satisfied with the goodness of His house and to be in the service of His holy temple. So God blesses you when you end up being chosen by Him to serve Him in His house. And so we see that there. All righty, let's look at another one here. How many of you are getting something so far? This is good stuff, man. How many of you want to be blessed? And I'm giving you 16 ways that God says, I'll bless you. All righty, here's another one. Number 7, you can be blessed of God when we dwell in or abide in close relationship with the house of God, otherwise known as the church. Now listen to Psalms 84, verse 4. It says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. That word dwell, there's a difference in dwelling and visiting something. How many of you visit your home at night? Sometimes you work so hard, you feel like you're just visiting. Amen. How many of you dwell in your home? You live there. You abide there. You're comfortable there. You want to be there. You feel secure there. You feel happy there. Well, the Bible says that when we dwell in or abide in close relationship with the house of God, that He's going to bless us for that. Listen, church is not just something we do by law. It's something we do because we want to please God. You know, we're not under the law. We're in the grace age. Never should our motivation ever be fear. Never should it be. You know, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You don't have to. It's good to go to church, but you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You don't have to go to church to say that you love Jesus. But I know this. God blesses those that dwell in the house of God and remain in a good fellowship and in a good relationship with it. And it pleases God. God wants to bless those people that dwell in His house. Now we see here, number 8. When we find our strength in the Lord, God will bless you when you go to Him to find your strength. Listen to Psalms 84, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. We see, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. God will bless that man and that woman who realizes that their strength is in the Lord. And that causes us to have reliance on Him. God likes it when we rely on Him. How many of you parents like it when your kids come to you for help? I'm not talking about money help, but other help. You've got to draw the line somewhere. But you like it when your daughter calls you, Mom, what should I do about this? It makes you feel good, doesn't it? It makes you want to help them. It makes you want to be there for them. God likes it when we rely on Him. And He blesses those that learn to rely on His strength. Now, number 9. You can get the blessing of God when we know how to worship and praise the Lord. When we know how to worship and praise the Lord. Boy, the Lord loves to be praised. Now, the principal way that we do that is through song, spiritual songs, and hymns. The Bible gives 3 types of songs, and I love it when we sing and we praise the Lord. We try to employ all 3 songs, hymns, spiritual songs, and these songs of praise. But God loves to be praised. He loves to be testified in a positive way. Now, the Bible says this in Psalms 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. That joyful sound. That praiseful, happy, rejoicing sound of praising the Lord. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. You know what that means when you're praising God? You know what that means? What that literally means? That you're praising and He's watching you. When you're praising God, you ever try to get people to notice you? I remember when I was a little boy, I'd be out there shooting baskets in the yard, and I'd see my dad drive up, in between him getting out of his car and going in the door, I would put in about 55 shots, man. I'd be going into all my fancy shots, just trying to get Dad to notice that, you know, and he'd stop sometimes, and I would try to do something to impress him. But you wanted Dad. Do you ever have your kids when you can tell they want your attention? Man, let me tell you how to get God's attention. If you want God's countenance to be on you, you learn to praise him. You learn how to praise him right. You learn how to praise him sincerely. And I'm going to tell you what, when a person sincerely learns how to praise the Lord and they learn how to give him that gift of honor, God says, I'm going to bless that person, man. When they worship me and they praise me, they're in my countenance. I'm looking at them. They've got my attention. Now look at verse 10. Number 10. God will bless you when we feel the security and love of the Father's chastening hand. Boy, I don't like to get in trouble. I don't like to be rebuked. I don't like to be chastened, spanked, whatever it is. Oh, man. But, you know, we have to understand some things on this. Now, Psalms 94, verse 12 says this, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. God teaches through discipline. Sometimes God gives you a paddling, man. Now, when you get in trouble, when you get rebuked, it can go one of two ways. It can lead to, number one, repentance, which leads to restoration. When you are rebuked, it can lead to resentment, which leads to rebellion. It can go either way. It can break bad. It can break good. But we need to remember as children of God that God says, I'm blessing the man when I'm giving you a blessing by teaching you, by getting on to you. You know, one of the things you'll know as a child of God, when you're allowed to sin over and over and live in sin and dwell in sin and nothing happens to you, that's not a good sign. Let me tell you the good sign. When you get a little bit out of the way and all of a sudden you get a whooping. And you know it when it happens, man. You know it. You know what this is all about. You're like, oh, I know what this is about. I better get back in line. I think about how David said that thy rod and thy staff, it comforts me. You know, that rod had two purposes, man. One of them, I'm sure the sheep loved, and the other, they probably didn't like so much. But one of them was to chase off the lion or the bear or the tiger. Oh, my. That predator would come up, that wolf, and, man, he'd come out there with that big, long staff, and he'd pop that thing, run it off. Defending the sheep, it was a tool of defense. You know what the other one was for, Miss Marty? To give the sheep a whooping. He had that long shepherd's staff. And they'd be going down the trail. Sometimes sheep would get off the trail and start to go their own way. He'd reach over there and pow, right on their hind end, right back over. But the Bible says that the sheep derive comfort from the staff of the shepherd. You know, you and I need to derive comfort from the love of the shepherd when he has to use that staff and discipline us. Because he's just trying to get us back in the right path. Because he knows over there lies danger. That lies death. God loves you. Therefore, he disciplines you. And the Bible even states this. Look at this next verse here. Y'all really want to see this next verse? Because it's kind of hard to be angry at God once you read this. All right, here we go. You asked for it. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That means spanks. Means disciplines. That means he gets on to you, grounds you, whatever it is. Chastens you, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Oh, listen, beloved. Look at verse number 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? I mean, God's a perfect father. Sometimes we're not the best father. Sometimes we don't do right as fathers. But that is not the case with God. God is a perfect father who knows when to punish and how much to punish. But he says, what son would I have that I wouldn't punish? Everyone, if I punish you, it's because you're my child. So here's the good news. If you're getting spanked by God, then you know. You wonder if you're saved? I don't know. You gotten some spankings lately? Hey, your father says, if you're my boy, you're going to get it when you get out of line. And that tells me that I'm saved when God doesn't allow me to get off the path. Yeah. And I've tried at times. I've tried at times, and I've tried to do things, and God will go, pow! And I'm like, all right, let's not get carried away here. I get it. I hear it. Oh, beloved, it's a great blessing when you're under that disciplined hand of the Lord, He's trying to bless you. It's a great thing. It's hard to understand that, but that's what the Word of God teaches us. We find security and love in that Father's chastening hand. Number 11, when we learn to fear the Lord, and in this fear, trust and follow the Lord. We are blessed by God when we learn to fear the Lord, and in this fear, trust and follow the Lord. Psalms 112, verse 1 says, "Praise you, the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth thee," or feareth the Lord, "that delighteth greatly in his commandments." Look at another verse here. Psalms 128, 1 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." That word fear doesn't mean a dreadful thing. It means a respect. It means a respect. When we learn to respect the Lord, when you learn to respect the Lord, you're more likely to obey Him. You're more likely to please Him. You're more likely to follow Him, to take Him serious. But God says, when you learn to respect me, to fear me, there's going to be a great blessing from me towards you. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. How many of you got that? Say, yeah!
Yeah.
All right, that's good stuff, man. Hey, let me give you a 12th one. God will bless you when we live an undefiled life as defined by the laws of God. God will bless you when we live an undefiled life as defined by the laws of God. Psalms 119, verse 1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of God. We see that, you know, we know this rule. Sin leads to shame, but righteousness leads to rejoicing. Don't ever forget it. Say that with me. Sin leads to shame. Say it.
Sin leads to shame.
But righteousness leads to rejoicing. Do y'all believe that, or are you just going to say anything that I tell you to say? You believe that? How many of you have found that sin leads to shame in your life? But whenever you're living righteously, it leads to great rejoicing. And I'll tell you why. Because that verse is true. When you're living an undefiled life in accordance to the law of God, you get the blessing hand of God, supernatural joy that comes by finding favor with the Lord above. Number 13, you will find blessing when we obey the Word of God. When we obey the Word of God. Psalms 119:2 says, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." We see that. Now, look at number 14. When we walk in the suggestion and direction of wisdom. When we walk in the suggestion and direction of wisdom. Proverbs 8:32 says this, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." We see that when we hear instruction, look at this, Proverbs 8:33 says this. It says, "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not." We are instructed to listen to wisdom. We are instructed to hear knowledge. When we walk in the suggestion and direction of wisdom, we will find the blessings of God. Number 15, when we wait upon God. When we wait upon God. Isaiah 30, verse 18 says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment." Now catch this. "Blessed are all they that wait for Him." That word wait has a lot of different uses. I looked it up there and did some studying of that particular usage of it today. And it's the word, it's spelled this way in English. It's spelled C-H-A-K-A-H. And it's pronounced qua-ka, qua-ka in the Hebrew. So it's a Hebrew word used there for the word wait, qua-ha, qua-ka. So it's got qua-ka. It sounds like an Indian word, doesn't it? Qua-ka. But this is what the word means. When I looked it up there and I studied it, cross-studied it, I found this interesting. It says, "Blessed are all they that wait for Him." And then I looked up the word, and that word used there means to adhere to, or stick with, hence to wait or await, to tarry, to be long. So it's the idea of never quitting or leaving your relationship with the Lord, no matter what happens, no matter what you're going through, no matter what prayers you think he should have answered in a certain way, no matter the disappointments of your life, no matter the disappointments of people who share the Christian walk with you. Hey, God says, I'm going to bless those that wait for me, that just stick with me. Amen. They just stick to me like glue. They just don't go anywhere. It's the opposite of this thing called apostasy, which means falling away. Man, I've seen people fall away. They fall away, but I've never seen a Christian ever fall away from God that I felt was ever truly blessed. I've never seen a person leave the way of God and find blessings in that path. Beloved, no matter what you're going through, wait upon God. Stick, adhere to. You stay with him. You stay with him. Now, lastly, God will bless you when we love and are good to God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. Listen to what it says in Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And then it says in verse 3, this is for us, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I'll give you one more scripture here. Psalms 122, verse 6 simply says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Beloved, when we are good to God's chosen people, I believe that we need to do all we can to try to reach the people of Israel. We need to do all we can to stand with Israel, love God's chosen people. There's a philosophy that's out there. It's a theology that we do not stand with, but it's called replacement theology. Replacement theology says that the Jews were replaced by the church and that the Jews are no longer significant to God and that the church is the center point of it. And there's churches out there that teach replacement theology. It's a primary theology of the Catholic Church. But it's also a theology in some Baptist churches. And often you'll come across people on the internet that teach that. Beloved, I don't have time to dispel it, but I will tell you, we reject that. That is not the case. God's people are the Jews, and they're a peculiar people. They were brought up by God to be a peculiar people. But God says that I will bless those that bless you, and I'll prosper those that love you. If you want to be blessed of God, develop a love for God's people and do what you can to be a blessing and a help through missions. We want to be a help to Israel. Do what we can to be a blessing. So in conclusion, in these 16 actions, you and I can find favor with God that will yield the great blessing hand of God in our lives. Joy that is given to our hearts from God as a gift for our ways. I love it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Man, I want to be blessed of God. Blessed is the man. We saw that over and over. Blessed are they. Blessed is he. Oh, man. That word caught my attention today. Caught my attention. Caused me to do a little cross-studying on it. Came across all these wonderful things. Boy, I want God to bless me. You think about those things, those 16 things that God says in his word, I'll bless you for. And you work hard to make sure they're in the fabric of your life. Let me ask you this. Is there anyone that could say, preacher, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but preacher, I know I want to go there. I want to, but I just don't know. I don't know. Would you help me? If you'll slip your hand up, put it right back down, I'm going to pray for you and give you some quick instruction. If there's anybody, you don't have to be afraid. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Amen. How many of you tonight say, preacher, I learned some things in Scripture tonight that I'm going to work hard to put into effect? Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Hands everywhere. Dear Lord, tonight we've already come to the altars. We've already had time to pray. We've lifted up prayer requests. We've asked you to hear these requests. We've lifted up people that we love, names like Chuck Olds, names like Dustin Menzer. Lord, there's people that we're concerned about. Lord, Brother Lawson shared with us the challenge that he's going through. And Lord, we're putting that in your hands, and we're going to do as you said tonight. We're going to trust you. put ourselves in a position to be blessed of you. Lord, there's people that came forward tonight with private needs, things that are just private. They didn't want to share it out loud, but Lord, you know what that need is. We came together in faith, in accordance to faith. We want to be blessed for that faith tonight, Lord, but we, in faith, sought your help in those private matters. And then there were things that were named out. Lord, we know there's no small prayer request. There's no small need. If it's big enough to cause us to lose sleep over, it's big enough to pray. It's big enough to pray about it. So, Lord, I pray that you'll hear those requests tonight. Now, Lord, I pray as our people are getting ready to leave and go to their homes, get some rest tonight, getting ready for another day of work tomorrow, and that they came in, got their cups filled up at this midweek service, I pray you'll bless them for being in your house as you gave us in the Word about the house of God tonight. Bless these folks in a real way that they know and they understand and that they recognize the blessing of being in the house of God. Lord, we'll give you the honor and the glory and praise your holy name. We ask all this in Jesus' name.